The way the process works is if the government decides to initiate rescission proceedings, it must give you written notice of it. The written notice must be served on you in person or personally served on you, as the regulations have elaborated on the statute. Precisely what that means, well, do they have to come to your home and hand you the notice, or do they? Can they send it by certified mail? Those are issues that remain unresolved. I think in light of Pereira and other cases, a lot of these are going to percolate if we ever have a rescission case. Peter and I were talking about it, and Peter told me that I think his last rescission case was 20 years ago. I'm actually surprised that the government doesn't use it often. I can also see why they don't. It may be just a waste of their resources. But in any event, should they decide to initiate rescission proceedings, it's done by written notice, personally served on you. The notice should include a set of allegations as to why the government believes you should not have received the status, and give you 30 days to respond to it. Your response must also come in writing. The notice should also include your right to be represented by an attorney at no expense to the government that's basically really about the only right they're going to advise you of in the notice. And then you must respond in 30 days. And in the 30 days in writing, when you respond, you either say, yes, I concede the allegations and I should not have received this status. Or two, if you deny the allegations, then you can request a hearing before an IJ. And the case must then be referred to an IJ for a rescission proceeding, not a removal proceeding, but a rescission proceeding. The IJ then takes over the case, and instead of your normal NTA, you have this notice of intent to rescind that then will form the basis of the charges that the government is bringing. The court will advise you when you get to it, similar to a removal proceedings, of your right to be heard, your right to cross-examine evidence, witnesses, and so on and so forth, the right to counsel, and then you'll have a hearing. And if at the end of that hearing, the judge concludes that your status should be rescinded, he'll issue an order, and that order will effectively rescind your status, much as an order of removal will effectively enter an order of removal against you. And then you have an independent right to appeal that to the BIA. Now, all of this is kind of like parallel. I'm separating it from removal, so this is all by itself. And that may explain to you why it's not used very often. Because from a government's perspective, why would we want to start this rescission proceedings and get to the end of this process? It could be an appeal so that at the end of it, essentially, the person is now told, you don't have status. Now we have to come and put this person in proceedings, removal proceedings, and then go forward in order to find that, well, he has no status, he's subject to removal, enter an order of removal, have him apply for relief, and on and on. Why don't we just start with the removal proceedings? Which is basically what has been happening for many, many years. The burden of proof in rescission proceedings used to be preponderance of the evidence. But in 1967, I believe, Supreme Court came up with a case, Woodby, in which it raised the standard in deportation proceedings to clear, convincing, and unequivocal evidence, and that standard basically kind of transplanted itself to rescission proceedings as well, so that became the standard also in rescission proceedings. Now back to the statute that we read early on. The statute reads, if within, at any time within 5 years after a status has been adjusted. Now, all of you have been to law schools, I think most of you are lawyers. And you would just read this statute on its plain, just absolute plain meaning, if you just read nothing else. You would just say, well, if the government did not initiate rescission within 5 years, they shouldn't be able to initiate it after 5 years. That's exactly what the statute said. If within 5 years after a status has been granted, you don't resent, then you shouldn't be able to come back in year 9 or year 11, year 17, and resent the status. On the other hand, the next sentence further down, as I read for you, says that nothing in this section shall require the Attorney General to rescind the alien's status before initiating removal proceedings. So on one reading of it, you could say, well, the government has the choice. It can go either rescission. If it does go rescission, it must do within 5 years and follow the rescission procedures. If it doesn't, nothing stops it from having the same allegations in removal. But that exactly is the conflict. Why would Congress put a statute of limitations and say your status can be taken away if it's going to be taken away because it was incorrectly given to you in 5 years, and then on this side have no statute of limitations?